So someone that came to minister here 2 years ago for the first time here, but I can now call him a friend and a brother. All right? I said the first time I heard him, I mean, he's actually an apostle in the marketplace by our definition of the marketplace. You've heard us preach marketplace. You know that there's business, then there's marketplace. All right? Like Bishop Aremu said, the marketplace is more dangerous than ministry. You heard him say that? Aha. So people that have navigated the marketplace. All right, he's come all the way from Nairobi, Kenya. And I believe that God, I think this is the first time, maybe during the time of Archbishop Idahosa, maybe during that time also, but God is networking a lot of people all over the continent of Africa today. Graces across the continent. And he is one of the frontline ministers on the African continent today, who is located in East Africa. I must tell you, I like Kenya. I actually like Kenya. They are very brilliant people. And they have the best schools in Africa now. I hope you know. I hope you know. You won't know now, will you know? All right then. He does a conference in Rema Fest that has just blown up. I mean, something phenomenal happened last year. You know, I mean, thousands and thousands of people in a park. The final night, they were from spontaneously. People just moved into the streets of Kenya dancing. And since that time, we have not heard anything from Kenya apart from dancing and rejoice. I hope you understand. You know, before that, we were hearing several things from Kenya, but that put an end to those things we are hearing. And the kingdoms were switched after that conference. Let's welcome Bishop Julian Kula.
Nigeria, habari. Praise the Lord. I want to graciously, God bless you, my two people from Kenya. When in doubt, carry your own amens. Praise the Lord. I want to celebrate this man, not just out of protocol. This man is, I feel like this is our African Union for the kingdom. I think this is our own Commonwealth meeting, and we sincerely always look forward to being here. From the time I started, this has become a marked event in my calendar because I come to receive, and today I want to celebrate him to the world. And to appreciate you, sir, for what you're doing. These 32 years of obedience as the Covenant Nation and what you've been doing with this meeting has been felt across not just the continent, but the world. The first time I met your pastor, I was trying to figure him out. I'll tell you, because he's just a straightforward man. When it's time to go, he goes. When the meeting is finished, and you know, Kenya, we are hospitable, we like to extend things, we like to go until midnight, but not Pastor Poju. Pastor Poju, when he finishes, he's done, he's gone. So the first time I met him, I said, this man is different. But the machinery God has given him, together with this amazing First Lady, is for the functionality. I know why he has not brought her to Kenya. I know, because he knows she will pick her home. So, First Lady Toyin, it's so good to see you again, and we are looking forward. Please help me one more time celebrate the great grace of Pastor Poju. And I don't know anyone else who can have all the graces that have been downloaded on you in just 7 days. That's love. And that's the body of Christ coming together. I want to appreciate meeting for the first time, Apostle Stephanie. Thank you for just your amazing, amazing ministry. I must tell you, Kenya is waiting for you. This is how we invite people at other people's meetings. You have to be wise. But what I caught last night or yesterday is you mentioned about Los Angeles, and I got excited, and I need to talk to you because my son is going there, and I was just praying, and my wife is so happy. She's like, there's someone who lives in Los Angeles that we now know. So I'm just, hallelujah. So I'm just going to connect with her by force. And to Prophet, it's good to meet you, sir. And to all the great graces that have spoken here, the entire leadership. Wow. Well, tell your neighbor you're looking good. We've been treated so well. We've been taken care of. Mr. Jide and the entire protocol team have really spoiled us. Thank you, Covenant Nation, as only you can do. Thank you. Let me start so that I don't say the actual Kenyan thing we always say. I don't know where time went, and I spent 15 minutes of it in introductions. But look at the person next to you. Tell them, I pray you take something away this week. Amen. Today I made a decision. I really want to be free. So I'm going to pretend. I'm going to pretend I'm talking to my members in Nairobi, so that I can loosen up and be free. Amen. Are those people from Kenya over there? God bless you. And Uganda. I see Uganda in the house. Oh my goodness. God bless you all. Yes, West Africa. There's another side called East Africa. It's a beautiful place. I know the day Pastor Poju brings Mama that you will be seeing her here for 6 months. I'm in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. Then we'll take our seats. Genesis 1, 3. It's a very simple scripture. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Father, as I minister these words, go ahead of me. Cover every word I speak. Thank you for the great ministers of your word and carriers of grace that have released unction and have released your oracle to your people. I pray that, Lord, you will use every part of this time to continue increasing us in your knowledge and in wisdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please have your blessed seats in Christ Jesus. Amen. Pastor Poju, thank you for what you did for Pastor Nkechi yesterday. I'm completely blown away. Thank you. I met the daughters at the hotel. I thought I'd see them again to just tell them what a blessing. In just a short time, you got me to meet her last year at this same meeting, and we flew together to Abuja, and she was just... there's something about her that just lit my spirit up so much that when I saw the children yesterday as I was arriving, I just felt such a kindred spirit. I wanted to give them something for their father, and I'll leave that with you so that you can just convey our love from Kenya to them. She gave me a book, and I've been reading, and I just said, this woman, I wish I had known her much longer, but she's left something for us to know her by, which is legacy. Thy kingdom come is a very powerful, it's clear that this was a message given by God for such a time as this. And I asked myself so many questions about which way to go, and God gave me the relief this morning, said, just talk like you're talking to your people, because these are God's people. And when God said, let there be light, there are so many things in the kingdom that we have to interact with. Let me just add another scripture to that. 2 Corinthians 4:6. It still deals with Genesis 1, verse 3. Says, seeing it is, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This light of the knowledge of the glory of God, or the knowledge of the glory of God, is really how the glory of God is seen. Thy kingdom come is not just words we read. It is a statement made not just with possibility, but actuality of expression. My role in the kingdom, and I think everybody must search to know what you're supposed to do so that you don't get confused, because there are diverse graces in this kingdom, diverse gifts. And sometimes in the temptation to be all things to all men, you can find yourself with diversified purpose. If you have the five talents, that's great. Then you must maximize that and bring that to the place where it glorifies God. But I understand my purpose is to bring understanding about this kingdom role in the marketplace and what we're supposed to do, when we're supposed to do it, because I think we have a dilemma that the people have heard, but we don't yet fully understand. And the problem in the kingdom is not hearing. Listen to me. It is not the hearing of the word that brings light. It is the entrance of the word. So you have to understand different dynamics of the word of God, the hearing dimension, but the understanding dimension. Because if you look at, I believe it was in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, where Jesus begins to help us understand dynamics of the kingdom and helps us to begin to see that the kingdom that is coming is a kingdom. If you can put up that scripture for me, Matthew 6:33, NKJV for me, please. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In my different sessions, I'll try and deal with righteousness and how that affects us in the marketplace. But as we understand this, then we begin to grasp truths regarding application, understanding. The parable of the sower and the seed is such that the person who heard and did not understand was not beneficial to the kingdom. So why are we gathered here? So that there cannot just be hearing, there has to be understanding. So God is desiring to make himself known in terms of glory. Everything from the beginning, everything you begin to see, and I want to deal with two items today. I hope I'll have the discipline to finish the two items. I want to deal with light, and I'll tell you the second thing I want to deal with in a minute. But in understanding light, there's a lot we need to go into to understand light. God wants to make himself known, and he wants his glory to shine through us. And let me tell you, as I was navigating through this year and the things that we need to do, the problem in the kingdom is no longer just hearing. The problem in the kingdom now is how to. People are asking, so how do I? If we're going to superimpose the kingdom of heaven on the earth, the how to is equally important as hearing the instructions. We must know how to. I don't want to constantly be told that there's a cake. I want to eventually learn how to bake the cake. If I'm in the healing ministry, I want to understand fully instruction. So, why does he do it? Why does God do that? How does God do that? How does God's glory get seen? Well, first, it's by what he does. They introduced prophet, and just by his title alone, I can be able to grasp a few things. They introduced apostle. Just by the title, I can grasp a few things. They've introduced me. Your pastor gave me a title, bishop. He's getting me in trouble with my spiritual father because I'm not a bishop, but, you know, I'll take it. but the essence is you know somebody by what they do. So we don't know God by what he says only. We know God by what he does. The glory of God is expressed by what he does, not just what he says. O Theophilus, the treatise of the accounts of the things that Jesus began both to do and to teach. So we must equip ourselves to understand that we serve a Father who is not acting. He gets it done. And because he gets it done, that's how we can be able to understand. So anybody telling me, now please listen carefully, faith does not fall under the saying gifts of the Holy Spirit. Saying falls under the doing gifts. The saying gifts are speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. But when you come to the doing gifts, because this is a house of faith, then you have to understand that faith, you don't tell me you have faith, you show me faith. So there's a place in this kingdom for hearing, understanding, but there's also a place in this kingdom for expression. And when expression is lacking, we sound like people that are filled with a lot of information, but the expression of that information has to be broken down so that from here, there can be the power that you received being expressed. That means that this is the only continent, I believe, in the world where revivals have not been institutionalized. When you talk about revivals, and I don't want to get into races and sound like a person that's against, but even when you look at the Azusa Street revival, every revival you look at, including Norway and the rest of the revivals, the European revival, they institutionalize their revivals. If you look at the Quakers and the Shakers, if you look at some of these groups that had revivals, you will find things that are standing 100 years after the revival as evidence that something happened. So you will find Boots Pharmaceuticals, you will find Cadbury's, you will find Barclays Bank, you will find Boston Gas and Lighting, and these are expressions that something passed through here. You will find change of language in Britain where people came from speaking in coarse language and began to speak in a language that was pleasing, where you begin to hear Lord and Sir. So even language was affected. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So anytime we talk about a revival now, in East Africa, we had a powerful revival called the Kutenderesa revival. But two generations later, if you ask our young people to sing the songs of that revival, nobody remembers them because we haven't learned that it is possible to actually institutionalize a move. Because I believe a move is not just given for the purpose of feeling good. And the move of God is not there just so that we can have it. Therefore, there must be in a move of God people that are equipped to operate as Josephs and people that are equipped to operate as Esthers and people that are equipped to operate as Daniels so that there can be a containment of something that has happened for generations to begin to appreciate and understand what it is that took place historically. We were in Rwanda. And the person that invited us, I went with my entire team, my music team, and she turned and she said, can you sing this song? It was a revival song. It's something like Kutendereza Yesu, Uganda, you know what I'm talking about, and Kenya. Nikutendereza. It was a revival in the 70s. My entire worship team was just, doo-doo-doo. You know, what are you singing? They don't have anything that tells us something passed through here. Hallelujah. So God is not a God of saying only. He's also a God of doing. And therefore, because we're made in his image, some of us in the kingdom have been given a responsibility to begin to figure out how to institutionalize the move. To God be the glory. Now, this thing is a matter of progressive working out. It's not immediate. It's not all in there. But as you go, You begin to understand. So on the first day, God said, light be, and light was. Ha. Now let me explain something. On the second day, something else happened. On the third day, something else happened. Do you know, God was not bigger on the third day than he was on the first day. Whatever he was saying, he was still big anyway. The all-powerful, mighty God was still all-powerful on day four as he was in day one. So it was all in him before he started. And Jesus Christ being on the scene and beginning to help us understand this brings to us divine possibility. So let me speak some things. So he says, this is what we need to understand. Peter says in 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What does 2 Corinthians 4:6 say again? It talks about the light of the knowledge. It says, seeing it is God that said light shall shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What is in view here and what the Holy Spirit needs us to pay attention to is the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Okay, so it is God who commanded. For us to be able to know what to even do in the marketplace, let me give you some quick 9 or 10 things. These ones are just extra. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. Message, if you have the message version. If you have the message version. Let me give you some 9, 10 things you need to learn about the marketplace. Number one, the Bible says that the world is unprincipled. That's point number one. Point number two, it's dog eat dog out there. Point number three, the world doesn't fight fair. Are you understanding? So you're not being prepared for some kindergarten exercise. No, he knows he's sending you as sheep among wolves. And here he begins to give you a description. The world is unprincipled. So don't go out there and say it's unfair. We are here to let you know it is not fair. Number two, it's dog eat dog out there. Number three, the world doesn't fight fair. But here's what we do. We don't live or fight our battles that way. Number four. So we don't fight our battles the way the world fights its battles. Number five is in the next verse. Keep going. Verse four. Look at what it says. The tools of our trade. So we do have tools. And we're going to learn how to use them today in the name of Jesus. The tools of our trade are not for marketing. Neither are they for manipulation. Number six. Those tools are for demolishing entirely massively corrupt cultures. That's what our tools are for. We demolish corrupt cultures. So he's called the King of Kings because this kingdom has a culture. And this culture is supposed to trump any other culture. Okay, wrong word. It's supposed to put down any other culture. You have to be careful these days. If you want to travel to the United States, you have to be careful how you use the word Trump. So let me use a different word. It's for demolishing that entirely massively corrupt culture. Are we still together? Number six, I like the sixth one. But it is also for smashing warped philosophies. So, in understanding this, let me just give you, that's number six. Number seven, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God. Number eight, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure. That means that there are some thoughts that we have that are loose, that need fitting. And when we start to get them fitted right, we begin to operate. So even when you start to see what we call warped philosophies, Dr. Monroe, when he would come to Kenya, he taught us many times. Kenya at that time was going through a lot of terrorism. We used to have bombs and explosions happening every year. He came, in fact, just 4 months. His last visit was 4 months after one very bad incident in a mall where we lost so many people. And he said, listen, I need to meet your president. I need to tell him something. I need to tell him that terrorism is not a person. Terrorism is a philosophy. It's an idea. And you don't counter an idea with bullets because you'll just raise more ideas. You have to counter an idea with another idea. So some of the philosophies we are dealing with are warped. So we hear a lot of debate. And Nigeria, let me say something to you in love and humility. I'm very careful what I'm going to say. We're watching you. Christendom watches you. And when Christendom across the world is watching you, Nigeria does have a compass responsibility about where things are going. So when we watch and all we see is fights, it doesn't look good on you. Okay. I hope I come next year. Diversity is one thing, and we need to appreciate how diversity can be dealt with. But at the same time, so when we talk about warped philosophies, for instance, and I think Pastor Podge alluded to this, let's talk about righteousness for just a minute. Righteousness is the ability to stand before the Father without guilt or shame, and my conscience is clear because of understanding. Not because of what I've done, but because of what Christ has done. Are we together? Now, if I come and talk to you and say righteousness is a gift, it is true. You're not off. Righteousness is a gift. That is scriptural. But then if I have a gift in my bedroom and I don't open it, case in point, I get many gifts. And you know, this used to just irritate the living daylights out of my wife. And I can keep that gift in my room for a year. So one time I opened a gift after a year. It was chocolates. And I'm a sweet tooth. I'm a sweet tooth. And I said, oh my goodness, on the day I had a craving. The chocolates had expired 6 months ago. Was it a gift? Yes. What was the problem? I had never opened it. As much as righteousness is a gift, it must be opened. You must understand the benefits of righteousness. Secondly, you must understand there's an element of righteousness that requires pursuit. Hallelujah. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Why should I pursue a gift? These are dynamics of righteousness. So the one who has understood the dynamic that it is a gift is not wrong. But the one who has understood that there's a gift that also needs to be pursued has also gone into a deeper level. So what we need are more Priscillas and we need more Apolloses that are confident enough to come into the house for dinner and receive some extra understanding of some things so that they don't believe. Because nobody in this kingdom has the entire truth. Hey. Nobody. Nobody has the monopoly of truth. So when we watch and we listen from the international quarters, I want to say that despite what we feel about our fathers, they are responsible for the freedoms we have today. Amen. So, light. You know, in righteousness, one of the things that is there in the humanity is what you call a consciousness of sin. Now, sin consciousness is one of the things man has had to deal with for the longest time. Sin consciousness. It's an awareness that you don't have to be a Christian to be aware of sin. No, innately in you is built the ability to know what is wrong and what is right. So a man like Hegel comes, and that's why you have what movements like the Christian scientists, a man like Hegel comes and decides, if I'm conscious about sin, it's making me feel guilty. It's making me feel like I'm missing something in my life. So let me remove God from the equation. If I can remove God, I can remove the consciousness of sin. Because if I remove God, I remove Satan. And if I can remove Satan, I can remove the consciousness of sin. And that means I can live the way I want to live without a conscience. So man is always trying to find an alternative to this consciousness of sin. As we look at that, that is what you begin to call a warped philosophy. So even as we talk to a generation that is, what's the word I'm looking for? Therapy happy. I want to say, I pray that God begins to take you to people that have not removed the consciousness of God from their therapy. That even the psychologists you see are not following models that begin to express you into your own truth and into Mother Earth nonsense. Okay. Warped philosophies. This is what our tools are for. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So that you don't find yourself, because you just have to drift for 1 degree. And if that drift happens, it's over. Now let me get to my message. Light. God said, let there be light. And there was light. So the tools of our trade are for dealing with these warped philosophies. There are warped philosophies in the marketplace. And children of God keep going into that place without understanding. Let's deal with a few things today. He said, let there be light. God who said light, shine out of the darkness. Because we have to know what to do with the harvest. Pastor Poji, we had so much harvest at Rema Feast. You actually need to understand, what am I supposed to do with harvest? Harvest requires strategy. Hey, harvest requires wisdom. So we're having right now in our country, and I believe in many countries, Generation Zion, Gen Z's, loving God like we've never seen. I don't know if it's happening here, but it's happening in Kenya. It's happening in Uganda. We're seeing a young generation, and I'm sitting with them to understand some things even better, because they grasp certain things in a way that we need to understand. When they're harvested, where do we go from there? Because listen to me, we must understand, because God is a God of action, we are created in His image, there's action we're supposed to take regarding the body of Christ. Let me just move a little bit faster. So there's some creative activity in saying, let there be light. God said, let there be light. So in this matter of light, in the new creation, that light is Christ. So when we look at that, He says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have light of life. So, God brings in light so that He can do what He needs to do. God brings in light so that He can do what He needs to do. But I want you to know, God has so many things in His hand and in His mind, but He cannot do it outside of light. Light is the first thing that He does. But I want to show you some things so that there can be understanding. There has to be a state of illumination, a state of enlightenment. So as we trust God for revival, this state of illumination and enlightenment, it means, beloved, that God will not go on with His work outside of light. There has to be light. Somebody say the word light. Okay. God cannot, not He will not, He cannot. He always begins with light. Let me take it a little bit further. So you and I are unable to. So I come into the market and God begins to give me understanding. What season are we in the kingdom right now? We're in a season of illumination. We're in a season of light. And I'm going to pray for you before I finish today, that light, and I loved what Apostle was doing, because what I was seeing happening in this place is that light was being dispensed. And when light is dispensed, some things begin to happen. For instance, you must have light to understand that this is not a season of individualism. Any person entering into individualism will not understand the tapestry of collaboration and the benefits of community. And God wants to begin to help us come out of individual building to understand that we go further together than alone. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So loving my neighbor as I love myself is not a commandment that benefits God. It's a commandment that begins to help us understand the tapestry upon which we will build this thing that is supposed to be built. John chapter 11 verse 40. He said, do you believe that I can do this thing? If you believe, then you will see the glory of God. So Jesus is beginning to ask, if you believe, then you can see it. It's the knowledge of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Light must come. So we don't just start companies. So let me give you an example. The real estate projects that we're doing. I was sharing with Pastor Paul, my last 7 years were interesting. I don't want to go into too much detail because I don't want to make this about myself. But the last 7 years were years of searching, knowing there's something deeper and greater that's supposed to happen. Because we've seen the harvest, but the question as to what to do with the harvest was lingering in my spirit from 15 years ago. Because God had already shown that it's coming. But what do you do with this harvest? And how do you tackle this harvest? God said, begin to consider building Goshens. What? Build me cities. Not a city. Cities. I looked at my friends who are building cities. Let's talk for a minute. If you take how do you measure land in Nigeria? Is it acres, hectares, square kilometers? Because I see people here buying large tracts, square miles. Huh? How do you measure land in Nigeria? Hectares? So do you know that if you're to build a city, you're probably going to spend more money underground than you did to buy a city if you go above 100 hectares? Because by the time you deal with sewers and electric systems and you deal with the city approving your building plans and all those things, you're going to have sunk so much money that God has to give you a strategy. But what God begins and tells you he wants to do is so that he can begin to see obedience in your life. So I said to Pastor Poju, it's been a crazy time because we are launching a city in about a month from now. And what are we doing? Just hold on. What are we doing? God said to me, create communities. Part of the problem in the church is that some of the things that need to be preserved cannot be preserved if we continue individually. Okay. So what must you do? God must give you the understanding of how we can maintain what we have to maintain in communities. Something is coming. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me clearly. The reference of Joseph in scripture is not by mistake. There's a day coming when dollar will end. Hear me. I'm not a prophet, but I've tapped into something when I'm with the prophets, and there's a prophet here. Something is coming. And anybody that is still on individual mode is going to struggle. And the thing that will save many people is community understanding. Including how we have the most expensive missionary schools in Africa. They're in Kenya. That God gave us ideas on curriculum, but we decided to profit from them instead of understanding the very purpose for which God will download light for education. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So, can our children go to very high-end schools extremely affordably? Yes, it can happen, but it has to be community. Light. The knowledge of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Because when we say thy kingdom come, righteousness is not a future event. Righteousness is happening now. We have this habit of postponing righteousness to think that it is when we die. And our training, I must tell you, I grew up Baptist. Our training was such that we all sang the songs, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing this shall be. But righteousness is not a future event. Ladies and gentlemen, he died. He was buried. He resurrected. And our life must begin to appreciate and reflect the essence of resurrection power. Somebody say amen. So let me just go with this quickly so that we can begin to understand. So what are the things God is giving us the privilege of doing? Is that even after Pastor Poju came for Rema Feast, we've been able and we're continuing to make sure that thousands of young people are getting employment. Because hope on its own, hope deferred, makes the heart sick. So people cannot live on hope. The hope of God must enter a place where it is no longer hope, because hope that is seen is no longer hope. The hope of God is future oriented, it is certain, and it delivers. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So I cannot be on consistent hope if I'm not seeing the end, unless prophetically I've been told it'll come to my children. Now, I heard Reverend Pastor David say that Nigeria, something is happening in the continent of Africa, something is happening. Its preservation is going to be in understanding what we need to do with the harvest, with our numbers. For instance, the wealthiest men in Nigeria and women in Nigeria are because of you. The wealthiest phone companies are because of you. Even as I stand here, someone is doing borrow me credit. Because of you. You are responsible. In Kenya, we are 80% Christian. Let's talk. But our church projects take 25 years. There's a generation coming that will not understand that mathematics. The math is not mathing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's not mathing anymore. We can't take 25 years to build a church. We can't take 6 years to talk about a school. There are things that have to happen from a communal perspective. In my country, we've had a good invasion from our brothers, and they're taking over the city, and every church that was in those places is being shut down. Their strategy, community. Let me assure you, I'll tell you why we gossip and backbite. We are not yet busy. We're not busy enough. We're too idle. And the reason for that, if we begin to understand these things, I was with Shell, the CEO of Shell in my country, and we've closed a contract that I have now closed a deal for 10 Shell stations that are going to be community stations. It means if you're a believer, come and fuel here. Because we're no longer allowing this economy to go out. Because the very same people that you're fueling the economy are not sponsoring Pastor Poju's conference. Am I going too far? Can we talk? When you understand the whole dimension about how we can equip ourselves. I did an understanding. I went to an Indian friend's factory. They're doing flour. Do you call it flour? Okay. They're doing flour, and they're distributing some of that flour even to this country, into Ghana, into other markets. And here we are as Christians. We are extremely excited about taking selfies with presidents so that the people that we preach to can know that I know this guy. Every meeting we have, Ephesians chapter 3 verse 2 says, having heard of the dispensation of the grace of God that was given to me for you. Nothing sits on a man for the man. Anything that sits on us is for the community. And so God is calling us to order. Any light we have, he has to see its expression in the people. So this group is distributing flour, and they're an Indian family that was chased away from Uganda years ago by President Idi Amin, settled in Kenya, looked at how they were going to be chased away. Out of desperation, they started this business, and they were able to come up with something out of nowhere. And they are now responsible for some of the largest flour factories in East Africa, distributing all over, and the people that have made them wealthy are sitting at Covenant Nation. And they don't even know you exist. And they don't contribute to your schools. And they don't contribute to your economy. Are you learning something? So, what must we do? What is this harvest and revival? How will this revival be sustained? How are we going to be able to equip and get ourselves prepared? I'm going ahead of myself. So we have to lebrados kata. That's why I'm excited when I see preachers who are saying it's Jesus plus nothing. I love it. I want to say, there's so much about Jesus that even what I'm talking about is Jesus. You don't have to feel guilty. For most of you, your children will go to university and you have no idea the work they will do. That's not what's going on with Quakers and Shakers who handled their business 80 years ago. Please tap your neighbor for me. Say, we must get organized. In other words, the kingdom of God right now should be the largest phone company in Africa. The resources we have, when two or three of us make a decision to utilize this light for God's glory and for good, is so key. And we must understand how to deal with certain things. The second point I want to give you after light is discernment. It's in Genesis chapter 1. Take me to verse 4. And God divided the day, the light from the darkness, isn't it? I want to spend some time here. Genesis 1:4. God saw that the light, and that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Hey, God divided the light from the darkness. I found this interesting because I thought he'd chase away the darkness. But he divided it. And he allowed darkness to exist. God made a distinction. He said, this is darkness and this is light. And he made that distinction. And if you understand what he was doing, these things should stand apart. Darkness must be called darkness and light must be called light. They exist, and God made the distinction. So the second thing you must have in this season, outside of light, you must have discernment. Discernment not to call what God called dark, light. And discernment not to call what God called light, dark. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now, there's something I want to show you out of this, because these two things are very important. Colossians chapter 1 verse 13. He translated us out of the kingdom of darkness. Translated us, delivered us from the power of darkness, and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. If you go back to what I read earlier, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I believe it was verse 6. He says that God commanded light to shine out of darkness. This set me free. This set me free. He did not. Does anyone have a phone with a flashlight? Can I borrow that? If you could switch on the flashlight for me, sir. That's all right. Thank you, sir. Thank you. So, thank you. This phone has its light. So God did not bring a flashlight into darkness. He spoke to darkness and brought light out of darkness. Dr. Monroe used to say that there are three worlds: the first world, the second world, and the third world. Guess who we were called? All right. He said the first world has failed. The whole Roman system failed. It came crashing down, and that Greco-Persian system crashed. The second world has failed. The second world is what you see in the Americas and Europe, and what they were proposing and bringing out to the world. That has failed. There's only one world left. It's the third world. The one they called the dark continent. But God specializes in looking at dark and bringing light out of dark. I'm trying to say that some of the things we've gone through are exactly where the help is coming from. Watch this. I'm aware that we have the highest infant mortality rate in the world right now. Guess what? That's where darkness is, but that's where light is coming. My sister is a research scientist in London, and she's gotten three awards. When the Queen was alive, she got three awards from the Queen, and she's done some amazing cancer research. I said to her, baby, listen to me. A time has come, and God has set the stage, where now we are going to produce the best scientists, and we're going to produce the best medicine and the best solutions to the world, because we shall deal with what Reverend David was calling natural health, medical health, and spiritual health. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So I said to her, a time has come, because when you talk about community, during COVID, Pastor Poju, we all went to the hospital. In Kenya, most of the hospitals are owned by Indians. So we were on the lines, and we kept seeing people passing us on the line from that other community. And they were going, and they got the injection. And you know that injection was in limited supply. So all I was hearing on our line is rebash katarada baradadada ekrobas katalada, because people were praying that the vaccine does not get finished. But the owners of the hospital who are coming and overtaking these children of the kingdom, going and getting their injection, walking out and giving us a look like you're still here. Yes, that is what happens when you are walking and princes are riding. When servants are riding and princes are walking, I want you to shake a prince next to you and say, it's time to wake up. My function here, my function in the kingdom, is that if we understand community, if we began to understand the power of community, we would change all strata, and 90% of the altar calls would change. I read that the first trillionaire in the world is Elon Musk. Trillionaire. And this man, if you take Nigeria's economy, who knows the size of Nigeria's economy? I was checking it out yesterday. Do you know the size of your economy? GDP. Throw a few numbers at me. Huh? Kingdom people. Oh. Hey. Ha. Huh? 350 billion. Ghana was in some trouble. They are coming out of it. I think the economy, if you take Ghana, DRC, Nigeria, all of West Africa put together, one man, in other words, all the meetings President Tinubu is having, all with all his governors, all the cabinet secretaries, all the ministers, all those meetings, there's a man waking up in the morning having a meeting with himself, and he's making bigger decisions than your entire nation. One man. We looked at Kenya, Uganda, Tanzania, Burundi, Rwanda, Ethiopia, DRC combined. We were not at the wealth of Elon Musk. Aye, Jesus. And our churches are full. And I know what you're going to say. What does that have to do with righteousness? I'm coming tomorrow. I'm coming to deal with that tomorrow so that we come out of ignorance. Because the Bible says when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. Authority does not mean in government. No, there's a reason he's called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when you understand even where Joseph had reached, I believe when they went back to the father, they said, the man who is the Lord of the country, God is not looking to make us landlords. He can even make us country lords. Elon Musk, one man. If you check the wealth of Solomon in the Bible, if you explain its equivalence in today, it's $2.2 trillion. It means that Elon Musk has not yet come close to King Solomon. $2.2 trillion. And the man did not ask for wealth. Ah. We don't understand who we are. We don't understand what we carry. So some of the issues in our nations, the people that are sitting at Covenant Nation, listening to me right now, you are the solution that has been waited for. The earth has not been waiting for the manifestation of children. The earth has been waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. I want you to look at somebody and say, he's talking about me. I come in the name of the Lord and I pronounce, before the end of this conference, some of you are going to begin to walk in a new wisdom and in a new light. Shout, I receive it. I want by the time we come here next year, I've invited myself. I want by the time we come here next year, we are stepping into some new cities. We are stepping into some new retail industries that have been built by the children of God. Alebrados kata. I come in the name of the Lord and declare it shall be so. They did a survey. Out of the top 100 most expensive schools in Africa, 32 were in my country, Kenya. Out of 32, 25 started as missionary schools. Their work was for the function of what God wanted to do with an education curriculum. When Coca-Cola and United Nations tasted that curriculum, the missionaries decided this thing is too good. They started charging $10,000 a semester, a term for that curriculum. There's a place God is about to give us wisdom where the education system of God will be made available to the people of God and not at a cost. Listen to me. The reason everybody wants to be a billionaire and a millionaire, the reason we shout in church is, I want you to understand, it is possible for you to live comfortably on 200,000 naira if you're a community. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The purpose and the reason for corruption is survival. Everybody is trying to deal with four things: what they shall eat, what they shall drink, what they shall wear, and tomorrow. And Jesus comes and begins to deal with economy. That's why I believe there's no such thing as kingdom economy. Economy is the study in a dimension. Economy is the study of scarcity and plenty. For you to introduce God into a conversation regarding scarcity means that you have not fully understood God. No. Thy kingdom come means that there are certain things. Listen to me. I want to pronounce something. We want to declare today, there are things our children will not struggle with. I thought I'd hear a Nigeria amen. I said, we will not procrastinate certain things that our children should be climbing on our shoulders, and we postpone and procrastinate so that they deal with our battle. We come in the name of the Lord. We declare our children will not fight our battles. Please sit down. I just have a few minutes. Discernment. The ability to know what God has called dark and what God has called light is very key. This is important. It's a mark of growth when you can discern what belongs to this realm and what belongs to the other realm. It's a mark of maturity. So God begins to help us understand. 10 years ago, I tried to start a phone company. Hey, let me tell you. When I tell you it's dog eat dog, I'm not joking. And I'm not speaking theoretically. Nobody in that kingdom is going to hand it over to you on a silver platter. And when they know we are coming, when they knew Nehemiah was coming, they were upset because somebody had come for the welfare of the children of Israel. When believers begin to arise for the sake of other believers, let me assure you, you better be ready. I don't know who was ministering and said that kingdom is violence. But if you scan and see what the Holy Spirit is really about, look, we'll deal with this on Thursday. But the Holy Spirit is not so much, things like righteousness are included. Trust me, there are add-ons, and I'll show you. Things like holy living, there are add-ons, they are there. Yes. But if you check what the Holy Spirit is primarily concerned with, it's the throne. And the throne is a throne of power. The throne is a throne of might. And it is a throne of action. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So we cannot sit and think that we'll weave our way into some things of God just by being nice. No, I'd rather. Reverend David said something here. I wanted to call him while he was on the pulpit. He said, would you rather have 1 million lazy Christians doing nothing, or would you have 1 million corrupt people? Listen to me. I have an answer. I'd rather have one Robin Hood for the kingdom than 10,000 nice holy people doing nothing. God can clean up a David. Are you understanding what I'm saying? God can clean up a Joseph. But God needs some people that are ready to get their hands dirty and get into the marketplace and say, enough. The wisdom of how to deal with the people. Daniel 5:11. Let me get out of your way. I'll see you soon. The Bible says, there's a man in your kingdom in whom the spirit of the Holy God is. And in the days of your father, what did he have? What else? Discernment. These two things are key.
for what God wants to do with those that are going to enter boardrooms of people that hate them. That people that are going, can you imagine? You're sitting in a cabinet meeting and you know all these people want to kill you because you've come for the welfare of God's people. And God still gives you the ability to sit with people that want to call you a rapist. Yet you've been promoted. Joseph did not go after Potiphar's wife when he was elevated. There are offices you will enter when maturity enters. So we're not just building cities. After Ramaphist, Pastor Poju and team were there, and we had a great meeting. I kept asking God, how shall this thing be? What shall happen? A man kept looking for me after Ramaphist. Kept looking for me. I said, what do you want? He was a friend of mine. We had known each other for almost 12, 13 years, but we hadn't been in touch for a while. I said, what do you want? He says, I need to meet with you. I said, okay, let's meet. He says, can I pick you up? I said, that's fine. Puts me in his car. We drive. We drive about 15 minutes outside of Nairobi City. He takes me to this great land. He says, I want you to see. He says, I want to tell you what inspired me. Now, this firm, this particular private equity firm, has been doing some amazing kingdom things. They've built the largest malls in Rwanda, built some great malls in Uganda, done some great work in East Africa. So this is the CEO. I'm with him and I'm asking him, what is it? And he says, I've been disturbed for the last 12 years. I was there when you said God had told you to build cities. Don't ever let provision stop you from pronouncement. Some of the people you need that are going to be coming in the future are not yet made now. But your pronouncement now, Calebrados Kata, will cause some of them to position themselves in particular ways in the future. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Some of the people you need in the future need to hear your voice now. And he says to me, I want you to look. We couldn't walk. We had to drive. The land was big. And he says, I was there when you talked about the city. So I said to him, I didn't carry my anointing oil. You want me to pray for your city? He says, no. I want you to know. The city we are building is called Beulah City. He told me, I want you to call this Beulah City. I said, what are you talking about? And God gave me the instruction about how we are going to work together. He said, I have the affluence, meaning I have the money, him. But you have the influence. In other words, Isaiah 55 is about to come to play for some of you. You will come and buy with no money. I come in the name of the Lord. There's a place some of you are about to enter that what others have taken 100 years to accomplish, what you will see after this meeting, you will begin to do it without the effort of others. I asked him, what are you talking about? He said, I want you to understand. My chairman is flying in from London next week. I want us to have a meeting. We sat down with the chairman. We had a meeting. He said, we want to do 10 cities. 10. I was trying to figure out, because I've done a calculation. As blessed as we are, I had looked at our tithe and I needed 140 years just to start the city. You have to hear what I'm saying. I had done my mathematics because I like statistics and analysis. That's my background. And when I tried to look at this thing, it looked impossible. But what seems impossible with man? Nigeria, it is possible with God. The difference was, we were not looking for land for ourselves. We were looking for land for God's people. The moment it switches from me to us, heaven knows you are ready. So your altar call prayers cannot always be me, my house, my rent, my car. You must position yourself to understand that you can cry for a Samuel all you want. But until the day you realize God needs a prophet, that's the day you begin to align your prayers with what God needs. I pray for you.
I'll see you tomorrow by God's grace. Somebody say discernment. Somebody say light. May you begin to walk in the revelation of the word you've received. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, God bless you.